Okay, now, here's what I want to share with you, and I'm going to see if I can race through a little something here, and then I want to tell you what I really want to tell you. Turn to Colossians 1, verses 12 through 14. If you'll stay with the scriptures and really look at them, you'll be able to pick this up pretty quickly. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us to be meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The New Living has it this way: always thanking the Father, he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. The inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. What God has really given us is the ability to live in the light,
amen,
which has the power to rescue us from the power of evil in the kingdom of darkness. Nothing else but the light of God has the power to do this. John 1, 4 through 5 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Everybody say, "Comprehend it not." Why is the light the great power of God? Because darkness can't comprehend it. The light shines in darkness, and we'll read it to you in three translations, and darkness can never extinguish it. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it.
Amen.
The light shines in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. Light is the tremendous power that God gives us to overcome darkness. 1 John 1:5 says, "This then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Matthew 5:14, Jesus told us we're the light of the world. We are the light of the world. Light is the only power that will destroy and completely baffle the enemy. He can't comprehend it. He doesn't get it. Jesus said as long as he was in the world, he was the light of the world. Now he's given us the ability to walk as saints in light and to be light. Now, you want to write this down. Light is the highest form of spiritual warfare and cannot be defeated.
Amen.
I felt the Lord showed me very clearly from these scriptures. He showed me that some people are much more light than others, but we can all become more light than we are.
Amen.
Yeah. Satan cannot bear the light. He can't comprehend it. And he can't function in the midst of it. In God is no darkness at all. Revelation tells us that the Lamb Jesus is the light of the New Jerusalem, which has no need of sun, for the glory of God lightens it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. The only place that Satan can work is the areas of our life where there are shadows of darkness. That's his work area. So turn now to 1 John 5. We're almost there to what I want to tell you. Didn't take long. 1 John, that's over there before Revelation. 1, 5 through 7. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another," say one with another, "and the blood of Jesus Christ the Son cleanses us from all sin." Now John will continue on to speak about the absolute necessity of walking in the light with your brother, walking in fellowship. All we need to do is stay in the light with our brothers. All we need to do to make that happen is to confess and ask forgiveness when we have been wrong or when we've done wrong. Not hating, not grudging, not resenting. When we confess, we get the light. Immediately, the blood of Jesus, which Satan fears above everything else, cleanses us. We can't cleanse ourselves. We can only repent and confess to appropriate the blood for our cleansing. Then Satan can no longer threaten us because his accusation placed for it is destroyed. And until and unless we do this, that is, walk in this way, Satan may have some access to us. The blood needs to be appropriated in this way. Confession, light, blood, cleansing. Confession comes first, then the light, then the blood, then the cleansing. So there's no darkness for Satan's entry. Now here's what I want to tell you. When I was in the hospital, I was amazed, and that's the first time I've been in the hospital. 50 years ago, I was in the hospital for a minor surgery. So I didn't know much about things that go on in hospitals. But when I was there, I was amazed at the ministry God gave me to nurses and technicians. I ended up giving them books that I've written, and I'm exchanging emails. And I talked about Jesus with all of them. And so word began to get around, and at midnight one night when they come in to wake you up after you've gone to sleep, a male technician got right down in my face and awakened me and said, "Are you the woman who's a pastor? My wife and I aren't happy in our church. Now I'm sound asleep." And I said, "What is it I say, Lord?" I said, "You'd love our church." And this is, I wasn't expecting that ministry opening all over the hospital. And it was wonderful. Now that's some measure of light coming out. I'm trying to give you a picture. That's because they were sensing some measure of light in me. Okay? But when we are dealing with the devil, see, I was just dealing with people. When we're dealing with the devil, we need a dazzling light. Amen. To swallow the darkness. Now, the greatest light that ever came on earth was when Jesus sacrificed his precious body and poured out his superior blood. And did he do this by confessing his sins? No, by confessing ours. In a place where criminals were executed, he hung naked among them as one of the transgressors, which each of us is. He took my place. Such love has never seen an equal. His body was nailed to the cross as a decree against all my transgressions. But listen to me. All my transgressions and sins were exposed out in the open among the criminals where they deserved to be, and exposed to the light of day. Our sins had to be exposed and killed on Calvary. Jesus did it for us. That's why you can't get to heaven without going through Jesus Christ. You can't destroy your sins. And that's what destroyed the devil. The scripture says on the cross, Jesus destroyed the devil. What destroyed him was the impressive humiliation of Jesus Christ. Stripped naked of his clothing, removing sin from every hidden place. He openly exposed it on the cross. Light cannot manifest itself in hiding. It has to be exposed. Now, I'm asking this question, why is this so hard for us? For me, for you. And I've studied all of Job, as you might imagine. I'm not in his category, but I felt some of his pain. Job was called perfect by God. He even stated this to Satan, God did. He also called Job's attention. He also called Job's attention to Satan. Jesus did. God did. In all that Job went through, God never explained to Job why. And Job went through a lot. But instead, he gave Job a revelation of himself. And he gave back to Job, this is the really good part, twice as much as he had lost. And then Job lived another 140 years. That's not bad. Job had one problem that stood out to me through the book of Job. He had a hard time admitting there could be any fault in himself. Don't we? So God asked him in chapter 40, verse 8, "Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous?" Wow. See, when we're determined there's nothing wrong with us, we condemn God and keep ourselves righteous. Job had the concept that if there's anything wrong with him, it'd separate him from God. He had a little revelation of Calvary when he said, "Oh, that there were a daysman that could put his hand on my head and on his and be an umpire between us." Then an amazing thing happened. The Lord sent Job's comforters after he lectured them for being wrong to Job so that Job could pray for them. And when Job prayed for them, God accepted Job. Ooh. In 42:10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you're in captivity, you get to the place it doesn't matter that much what you have to do. You want out. And you don't spend a lot of time looking back to see how you got out and how wonderful you were along the way. You just say, "Thank God." The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. But here's something really amazing, that the Lord restored Job's friends before he restored Job. That's right. Since I was in the hospital, both while I was there and after I came home, I've had some people come to visit me who had been a part of disappointment and hurt in my life. The Lord showed me something to say to each of them. It has to do with becoming light and getting rid of every shadow of darkness. It was, what I said to each one of them was similar to this. Though there have been some difficulties, I want you to know that I believe that people are more important than issues. I want you to know that I love you and I miss you, and I bless you in everything you do, in your personal life and in anything you endeavor to do for God. And if you have any thought that I'm withholding any blessing, I want you to know this is not true. And I release you to be who you want to be in God, who you feel God wants you to be. But I just want you to know that I bless you and I appreciate you. And be sure that you feel released and free from any question you might have about this. Now, the reason it's hard to do those kinds of things is because of unfulfilled expectations and disappointment how we thought it would be. And if you hadn't done that, then I could have been here. If you hadn't taken that, then I'd have this. And if you'd helped me with this, then I could have been there. Really. Being a Job genius, of course, we know all these things. We know just where we could have been if this and that hadn't happened. Don't we? And what somebody did, and I thought they loved me. And if they did this, then they can't love me. And so we make all of these conclusions. And even though we pray for them and bless them, we can still harbor some resentment. And the Lord told me, I shared this with you, I don't know, a few months ago. Give up the pain. He said, I carried your pain. Man, it was a great day when I said, well, take it, hallelujah. I don't carry pain from those things anymore. It's wonderful to be free. What if people want to do something different from what you want them to do? We better just let them do it. Everybody needs to do whatever it is they're wanting to do, and then they can be free, and then you can be free. But we got to bless them in it in order for us to be really free. And so sometimes when people don't do what we thought and what we expected and what we thought a covenant meant or what we thought we'd agree to do, then our feelings can change toward them. If we feel they caused us loss, resentment can enter in, and we feel they didn't really love us, and then we'll end up with hurt and wound. A wounded spirit who can bear, the scripture says. Now the Lord said to me, free yourself and them, and be sure you are in the light with every person you have any question about. The ones I had question about, some question, came to see me except for one couple, and so I just called them and asked them to come. Because I didn't want there to be any little place. Because I needed a dazzling light. Because I had a real determined devil on my case. You get rid of one thing, it's like the scripture talks about, a man comes in from the war and he leans his hand up against the wall in his own house and a snake bites him. I was beginning to feel that way. No matter where I put my hand, something tried to bite me. Have we ever thought about God's great mercy? In that when we distance ourselves from Him, you know, people distance themselves from us. When we distance ourselves from Him, He pours Himself right back into us. Like He did the prodigal, endeavor to bring us back. He can't stand to be separated from us because His love is pure. God being nothing but light. Ouch, He said this to me. Never stops humbling Himself. Church, we got to catch on. I can't have it my way and you can't have it your way. We've got to give it to God. Amen. And when it doesn't go our way, do what the Word of God says so everybody can be free. And so we can walk in the light, which is our great power against the enemy. I'm going to give you an example, but I don't want it to startle you. This woman is much broader than any of us would probably ever dream about being, and being a territorial warrior. In countries, she's been able to take teams and actually change the spiritual atmosphere. So she has a tremendously powerful ministry, not like you and me doing our best to move into some of these things. She was very trusted and very high level of authority over the enemy. She had led prayer initiatives that had brought down territorial strongholds for years and had been given an unusual measure of light. And she very clearly made the statement that God requires much more of people that he entrusts with great authority over the enemy. And she said, God will not require of most of you the things that he's required of me. Made it clear. But she had a situation where she became angry with a man over mistakes that he'd made at a wedding. Aren't we sometimes ridiculous? We can get mad over something even less than that. I felt that the Lord showed me that we're all wrapped up in things that he wouldn't even look at. If we just get on the page he's on, how different our lives could be. And so she wanted the wedding to be just right, don't we? Just want things to be just right. Want the church to be just this way. The music to be just that way. And we want this to happen at just this time. And we want people to do things when we think they should do them. We got to throw all that away. And remember what it's about. It's about getting a bride for Jesus Christ to love and worship him. It is not about these other things. We do some of that stuff because it's a blessing to us. But it's not really a part of the war we're in. And we need to let that be so tiny we can't even see it. Everybody do this. That's what you need to learn to do a lot more of. But I thought you wanted it like this. I thought you wanted it like that. I just, especially since I've been going through this stupid zone, you know. I say something to somebody, and if they counter the least bit, I say, it's all right. I don't care. I don't care how you do it. I don't care what anybody does. Just leave me alone. It could be a real blessing to some of us to quit caring so much all the time. So everybody, let's do it one more time so you can remember how to do it. She's not here, and she's supposed to be a greeter, and she's late. Learn to shrug it off. We cannot run the world. Now, I don't feel like preaching, so let me go on here. I'm getting close to the end here. So she actually had spoken unkindly to the man, she very quickly asked forgiveness and thought it was taken care of. The next day, she went to lead a prayer conference and became extremely ill. Her throat felt like fire. She had no energy. She was burning up. She was really, really sick. And so the Lord said to her, you know the name of the spirit that rules in this area? She said, yes, it's called the lion. He said, where does the lion attack to kill its prey? She said, the throat. Then he said to her, look what you've done. See, I mean, what do we think we are? Just free moral agents of some kind? You know what? The way we talk to each other, the way we live our lives, the way we think, what's important and what isn't. I felt the Lord said to me, everything he said to me. But I just thought he might want to say it to some of you guys. He said to me, you need to let me deepen your compassion. I saw some things that really broke my heart, you know, while I was in the hospital. I saw some people really suffering. And I saw some nurses and medical people really dedicated to what they were doing. And I thought, man, they do this all day long. You know, fool around with people's bodies like mine. They're not moving around right and cared. That there was one girl, she was an apostolic girl, and I thought, oh man, did I get something sent from heaven? I told her, hallelujah, you know, that I know that you're going to pray for me, and she cared so much about me. It was wonderful. But she was never a negative word, never, you know. Everything was just great all the time, no matter what it was. I had one doctor that just made me feel so encouraged, and the very next one that came in said almost the opposite. And I thought, why did you decide to be a doctor? You could have been, you know, a technician or, you know, a mathematician. You don't need to be making people feel like this. But when I feel compassion from people like that, I said, Lord, I really want to learn your compassion. I want to feel about people the way you feel about them. My love is just not good enough. It's not deep enough. It's not pure enough. It doesn't give people enough room. I don't know. He said, we really need compassion. We need to really care about people, how they feel and what they're going through. You know, after I got home and I'd been home several days, I mean, I've been home a while. And I really was feeling pretty good. I fell out of the swing on my back porch. Falling out wasn't too bad, but I couldn't get up. And scared John half to death. He was lying there asleep. And I quickly said to him, I'm not hurt. You know, it's a concrete floor back there. And it turned out, I found out a couple of days later, I really was hurt and very sore all over. But what I meant by that was, I've had so much pain, this was a simple trip. I got it over with, it was the end of it. And I don't think there's any way to get compassion without going through pain. I mean, it has to be a first-hand experience, either emotionally or physically or spiritually or any other way. And I want you to know that God's not being mean to you when he allows the enemy to battle with you a while. He's going to, I mean, the thing is, he will never, never leave you or forsake you. He never left me or forsook me at any time. I'm going to tell you, it's one weird feeling to have my heart beat weird and to tell me that your heart's beating okay, but it's not really your heart beating. I thought, well, whose is it? And, you know, they got that straightened out. The doctor said, you probably never have this happen again. I thought, please, Lord. And then we had you praying that I'd go back into sinus rhythm. And when they did, bang, my apostolic nurse was with me. And she said, look at that, praise God. And that's the best thing that can happen. But you know that through that whole experience, he was just so with me. We got friends like Sandra Kennedy that would just pray for you while you're in the ER lying on the table. And Augustine and all these different ones. I didn't care what those people thought about that screaming African. I just let him have at it. See, it's a wonderful thing. We can go through a lot of things. Job didn't know why he went through a lot of things he went through. You know, Paul went through outrageous sufferings. Yes. He really did. He did not try to explain it all. He just said, God always gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. But I just know this one thing, that life comes out of death. And whenever you go through an experience like this, there's going to come a fresh life out of that. And the people in the church were wonderful. They were so supportive. I never one time felt unsupported or people didn't understand or didn't care. And thank you for cutting the flowers out of your yards and bringing them. I don't want those fakey things from the florist myself personally. You know, I like that. And the prayer, the ongoing prayer was wonderful because, see, if that happened to one of you guys and I was really concerned and we didn't have all the answers, I'd do just what you did. Thank you, Jane, and others who headed that up, because that's when we've got to dazzle the enemy. Amen. Let that light come forth and it'll swallow up that darkness that's working there. So this woman understood then. She had been attacked by the territorial spirit. And then the Lord said this to her, I gave you an armor of light that is impenetrable and invincible. I gave you an armor of light. Read it in Ephesians 6. Breastplate of righteousness, all those. It's impenetrable. He said, but look what you've done. You know, I have to take responsibility, and sometimes you get into a warfare, and it's because there's a chink in the armor that the enemy can get some advantage. And he showed her armor. She said it was, I think she said 3 or 4 meters, I don't understand meters, of light, but there was a terrible ragged hole in it. He said, but you put that there. And then he showed her that she had fixed it in the invisible realm when she said she was sorry, but the damage done in the spiritual realm would take time to repair. Now, I don't understand all that. I'm just saying that it's serious. When we're in a battle, a real battle, if you've got anything in your life that's out of order, or any unforgiveness or any rebellion or whatever, now you can't go into battle with those things. It's just too dangerous. So here was my conclusion. None of us is too good to be dealt with by God.
Yeah.
Neither Job nor Paul or any of us. And the quicker we ask God what he's after, the sooner the hope of coming to the end of the dealings.
Right.
We can't work in the power of the cross unless we receive the revelation of the cross. When the enemy attacks, we've got to stay in prayer until God gives us the victory. And I have no point, and by the way, all of us, when we feel the way I felt, you have times that you cannot pray for yourself. It keeps coming out like, and another thing is, you know, not effective. So I would say, Annie, just read the word to me. Please just read to me. I'll tell you what I didn't want, especially in the hospital. I didn't want people doing a lot of joking around. I didn't feel like that. It's real important when people are really going through a battle that you be tender in God and touch God for them. And I had some people who would come to see me and just share a little scripture. It just really lifted me. I didn't want to hear any nonsense. It's too serious, you know, when you really need to hear from God and you really need that touch. And when you've got a real devil on your case. God may never tell us why we go through the things we do, but he will certainly reveal himself and has promised to always be our deliverer. He's teaching us how to fortify our armor for the battles that are ahead. There'll be some battles ahead for yourself, but you'll be fighting battles for other people. Other people will find out we believe these things, and like Andre was just sharing, people start getting healed and all, and you'll be fighting some battles for them. Now, Victor called me and he said, I'm going to pray. Give me 20 days to get a word for you. And so he called me back and he said, this is your directive. This is a word. This is for you to do. Every morning, I want you to drink a bottle of water. He said, go get a box of water. And you and John pray with me. I'm going to pray over the phone. We're going to bless this water. For 21 days, you drink this water before you eat breakfast or do anything else. And all that virus is going to be flushed out and you're going to be healed. That's what he said. And I said, Augustine, I can't drink 2 liters of water before breakfast. I'm just a small person. So we cut it to 1. And I just thought, what a wonderful thing that you can have a friend that'll really seek God for a word for you. And that you can walk in that word and know that he's prayed over that. And that's a part of what he's provided. Augustine cared for me just like he was my pastor or something. He called me regularly. Any specific thing you want me to pray about, my phone's on 24 hours a day. Always call me. Had prophets. He had prophets on the line. had one prophet on there that felt the Lord showed him the three arrows that the Lord had sent, that the enemy had sent my way, and showed me the names that were on those arrows so that we could pray against those things. Things like that was really, I just don't know, I just thought about it. We need to try to be that for other people. I guess that's what I thought. Anybody goes through this, we need to really support them. We need to stand with. And I only had confidence in the prayers. And it was your prayers, and there's some other people out there that their churches were praying for me. And I know that that's what turned the thing around. I know that. And that was so wonderful to know. You know, I just thought, well, thank God I've prayed for a lot of people through the years. And thank God that those people now are going to return that favor for me when I really need it. And the Lord spoke to John and me to take communion every day, which we did. And after we'd been doing it a few days, Augustine called and told us to do that. And that was another healing factor. And I'm going to teach you on that healing that's in the communion. The Lord told me two great things to be done for me to do. None of us can do anything great. As Mother Teresa said, no one can do great things, only small things with great love. But he said the two things that I want you to do and never lose your focus. I've called you to pray and to study and teach my word. And if you'll do those things, you can change people and you can keep on seeing them changed. And that's the power. The other things are not. He showed me people get into all kinds of things that he hadn't called them to and lose the focus of what really matters to him. My final thought was, that people will sometimes say when they fall into a situation like this and don't understand it. I didn't understand when this thing attacked me back in August in South Africa. It's been close to a year. And I've been through a lot of things with it. I've been through tremendous inflammation and swelling and pain and all kinds of things like that. And sometimes if people want to say, Lord, why'd you let this happen to me after all I've done for you? That this can be just sort of a natural thing. Now, I cannot say that I ever verbalized that, but I did have the thought, well, I thought I could have been a little more protected than this. I just had a thought like that, you know. And I don't know if Paul thought that when he was in the deep two nights or whatever. I thought about it since. The things that he said are just part of being an apostle. He went through those things. We think we're supposed to be protected from everything. We're not too good for that. It was hard for me in the hospital, the ways they slam you around and those lovely clothes they put on you. And I really like to dress better than that. Never did understand why they don't make a back to those things. You know, the Lord comforted me in every area that I dealt with like that. And he said, I hung naked before all who looked on. I did it for you. Things like that were overwhelming to me. I thought, Lord, it's just a little inconvenience. I don't know where we live that we haven't understood what all you've done for us. My, what he did for us. And how he humbled himself and he kept on humbling himself. Oh, I just wish we could be like him, don't you?
Yes.
Amen. He's so wonderful. And so you have a thought like that, someone might say, well, you know, I'm surprised this would happen to you with the things that you've done for God. And I felt like it came to me, I think maybe even the Holy Spirit was involved in it. Exactly what have you done? You know, you work hard and you've had a career of this thing and you've built some things and done things in other places and all, but you know, I felt like the Lord said to me, people do a lot of things that wasn't necessarily what I had in mind. And I know that I've been concerned about things through the years that God's not concerned about. And it just seems suddenly so easy to just trash all that. And say, you know, Lord, come to think about it, I really haven't done very much for you, but I would really like to know what you want me to do. And he said, I want you to pray and study my word and teach it. And if you do that, you can really change people. I canceled, I think it's 4 speaking engagements I had. Some of them really nice, big churches where I really want to see people's lives change. But I didn't really cancel them. I've got to make them all good. But they were so kind and gracious to let me out of it till I felt better. And I do know that that's one of the ways. See, that's through teaching the word. And that when I have done this, people tell me, one pastor said, it changed the DNA of prayer in their church. So that's teaching the word. And I just want to keep a focus on doing what God wants me to do. Yes. And I want to thank you guys for your prayers and for your support and for your love and for not getting into trouble. I know one of the team members told me that there was a little problem they were dealing with, and they said, do you want to hear about it? And I said, no. And so I don't. If you've done anything, I don't even know what it is. And, you know, unless you're dying or something, I don't really care. Isn't that nice? But now when I come back, I'll be caring again, but I set aside some time to let everybody else care for things. I really can delegate. I'm not one of these people who has to do everything. And in order to be that way, you have to, you know, we got great days ahead. And I believe that when God allows things like this to happen, it's because he wants to teach us something deep and rich out of it. And I know that many of you, I can feel the atmosphere this morning. The worship is better. You're worshiping Jesus. And I believe the prayer has deepened. And I believe we're going to better see the seriousness of prayer in the days ahead. And I sure did want to thank you for that 50th anniversary celebration. John and I just were in tears. We just thought it was so wonderful. Yes. And the way that all of you, I know it was an act of love. They told me that nobody got mad at anybody that they knew of while they were doing it. And I thought that was marvelous. And it was all just very beautiful, and it really showed your love, and it honored us, and we greatly appreciate that. Father, we just want to thank you today that you do all things well. God does always cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. I thank you for the triumph that I could come and speak to the congregation today. And I believe you, Jesus, that that as I obey you and do it the way that you have shown me, that I'm going to be stronger on the other side. Because your word says, when we are weak, then we are strong. So I thank you for the spirit of strength that I've gone through. And I'm looking for greater strengthening, Lord, in the days ahead. I want to bless your people today and thank you for what wonderful people they are, for their prayers, for their loving support, and how they've gone right on and run the church without me. I give you all the glory for that, Jesus. And now I'm believing you that in the days ahead, we're going to continue to walk a pathway of revelation that's going to take us much more deeply into where you want us to go than we've ever been before. And you're going to elevate us in a place of prayer and victory through prayer and worship and really knowing your word and really loving you. And we give ourselves today, Lord, to allow you to work in that. Yes. You deserve all the glory out of each one of our lives. Lord, help us to walk in the light. I wonder if you'd like to stand and let me pray for you about walking in the light. And if you know of any situation today with any individual or anything where you're not walking in the light, get your armor fortified. This is a new way to walk, to understand that we don't let things get out of order. We just stay in the light with people and with situations, because that's much more important than our pride and the way we want things and what we think people should do. We've got to let it go. Everybody say, let it go. I thank you for the grace, Lord, to just let things go. And we're believing you now for a breakthrough into our lives, that we're really going to be different. Lord, we believe you, that we're moving up in the realms of the Spirit. Amen. We feel it and we sense it, and we thank you for reviving our hearts.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Listen.